Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Thank you guys so much for that. Hey, we're stepping into a standalone message this morning. We've been talking, if you've been part of the Assembly for a while, you know we're in the middle of a series called Final Words. But today I want to step away from that series to preach one standalone message to you this morning, simply entitled Blind Spots. How many of you ever heard the term of a blind spot before? Right? One thing that you may or may not know is that just about every car that I've ever heard of has some sort of a blind spot. A blind spot is simply that part, that area around your vehicle when you're driving down the road that you can't see in your mirrors. And here's what I've discovered. You know, there's over 840,000. I heard that number. I thought, that's too big. So I actually researched it. And everywhere I researched, I kept getting that same number. 840,000 car accidents a year are caused by blind spots. That's a bunch of accidents, isn't it? And here's what else I discovered. The bigger your car, the bigger your blind spot. Matter of fact, if you drive an 18-wheeler, you probably already know this, or maybe you read it in driver's ed somewhere, but the bigger the car, the bigger your blind spot. An 18-wheeler on the right side of it has actually a blind spot that can go over three lanes and is three car lengths long. That's how big a blind spot is. And I want to talk to you this morning about blind spots in our lives, because I've discovered, and we're going to discover from the Word of God this morning, that the bigger our life is, and you may be wondering, well, Pastor, how did our life get bigger? How about this? The busier our life is, the more susceptible we are to having a giant blind spot come up and just really derail what God's wanting to do in our life. And one of the lessons that blind spots teach us is just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I want to say that again. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Now, as soon as this service is over, matter of fact, I'm going to try my best to preach a little bit shorter this morning. Everybody just say, ha, ha, ha. You know, I'm going to try, though. Matter of fact, they haven't even started my timer, so I guess I can just preach all day long. But I'm going to try to preach a little bit shorter this morning so that at the conclusion of this message, we're going to take a few moments, because there's been about 70 of you that have joined us on Wednesday nights the last month on Wednesdays. We've been talking about marriage, how to be better husbands and how to be better wives, and the concept of this message sort of was birthed out of that series, because this series we've been doing on Wednesdays about marriage has awakened in me. It has shown me some personal blind spots, some issues that I didn't know that were there. But through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, He's been teaching me that there are some blind spots. And the truth is, all of us have blind spots in our relationships and different areas with people, even with God. And here's what the Word of God is going to teach us this morning. The quicker we respond to the blind spots in our lives, the quicker God's healing can come in and take over. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to read about a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you already know what we're going to read, but just in case you don't, there was a king who in the time of this writing, whose name was King David. How many heard of King David, right? And while he was king, he made a mistake one time. The Word of God says that during the time when the kings went out to war, David stayed home. And some of you already know what David did. He was walking on top of the king's house one night, and he saw a lady whose name was Bathsheba. And he saw her, he lusted after her, and he said, I must meet her, I must have her for my own. And he went and he slept with her. She conceived a child, and then David knew, I'm about to get caught for the sin I committed. And so he began this domino effect of bad ideas, one after another, trying to hide his sin with Bathsheba, to the point he actually had her husband killed and thought he had gotten away with it. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we pick up that account. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. God has a way of dealing with our blind spots, by the way. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And when he came, he said, he began to tell the story. There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who came. Instead, he took the one lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had came to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Now, most time when someone says, "You're the man," that's a good thing, right? When you make a basketball shot, the fadeaway, someone says, "You're the man." It's awesome. This is one of those times it's not good when someone says, "You're the man." Nathan told David, "You're the man that did this awful thing that that I'm telling you about. And this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. And you killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." Father, I pray over this word that we have read this morning. I'm thankful that we know that your word is alive and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray this morning that the word of God would work in me. The word of God would work in each of us. Alert us, awaken us to the blind spots in our lives that is causing, making room for destruction and heartache, not just in our relationship with you, Father, but in our relationships with one another and in our lives that we live as a whole. So, Father, anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us together, and we'll be faithful to respond to it. And all the people of God said, amen. Now, David is a guy who, if you know much about him, we know that David's, you know, he's pretty praised, even from God. The word says of David that he was a man after God's own heart. We know David was a very honorable person. I mean, David was the guy who had a chance to take revenge upon his enemies. He had a chance to kill his predecessor, King Saul, and refused to do so and even punish those who would try to harm his enemy, King Saul. David was a person who was just greatly esteemed and greatly honored God. He was a great man of honor. And yet, something happened in David's life. How did he go from being this humble, honorable person to now he is so arrogant and so prideful? He went from a person who would spare his enemy's life to now to be a person who is willing to kill anyone who got in his way, who threatened to expose him. How did he go from point A to point B in such a quick manner? And the answer is David developed a huge blind spot. And you have to know that people saw it. Here's the thing about blind spots. Everyone sees it but us. That's the definition of a blind spot, is that you can't see it. If you could see it, it wouldn't be a blind spot. David has this huge blind spot that is causing him to sin and go deeper and deeper in the sin. And you got to believe that people saw it. The servants he sent to fetch Bathsheba had to see it. The captain he told to go put Uriah on the front lines of the battle had to see it. Everyone is seeing this blind spot except for David. I wonder how many blind spots in our lives this morning that other people see, more importantly, that God sees that we don't see. And perhaps we don't want to see. Sometimes the blind spots in our lives are not because we just can't see it. Sometimes it's because we don't want to see it. And we have spiritual blind spots. All of us this morning, if you're saying, "Well, Pastor, I'm too spiritual to have a blind spot," I would challenge you to understand it might be that you have the biggest blind spot of all. The Bible says there's not one of us righteous, no, not one. And we have blind spots when it comes to our relationship with God. We have blind spots when it comes to sin, sometimes our own selfishness. We have blind spots when it comes to the relationships we have with those that we love, those that we are in family with. And today, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit can not only reveal to you the blind spots in your life, He can also heal you of those blind spots if you will invite Him to do that. And I would challenge you to with me this morning, let's invite God to heal and to reveal those blind spots in our lives. And I want to tell you a few ways you can invite His help this morning. First off, don't assume that you see everything perfectly. You know, in recent years and even in recent weeks, we have seen the unraveling. If you watch television, if you watch ESPN, if you read sports news very much, we've seen the complete unraveling the last several years of some major college football teams. And if you will notice what has caused the unraveling of some of these stellar programs is that at some point, somebody turned a blind eye to something. And you might want to write this down this morning. Every time you turn a blind eye, you're creating a blind spot. Every time you refuse to see something for what it is, every time you try to hide something, the Bible kind of reminds us that everything that is hidden will someday be exposed. And the truth, that is no more true than any other part of our life when it comes to the sin we try to hide. We've seen programs on national news, even the last couple of weeks, that are in chaos today because someone had a blind spot when it came to certain elements in the program. They thought, well, no one will see it. And you may well say, well, Pastor, if I'm trying to live for God and I'm trying to do the right thing, how on earth could I ever have a blind spot? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, tells us that the enemy of our souls, the enemy of our life, that he is actually in the business of blinding people. And you got to believe that the enemy that tries to blind people to salvation will also try to see he's not very creative. So he tries to use that same ploy to create blind spots in our lives, to create havoc in our lives on a regular basis. Jesus said in John 10 that he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the ways the enemy kills, steals, and destroys from you and me, one of the ways that he kills, steals, and destroys from the follower of Jesus is by creating blind spots in our lives to wreak havoc in. You know, you could look at other people in the Bible. You could look at Samson, who obviously had a blind spot towards a girl named Delilah. How many times do you have to wake up tied up before you realize maybe this person doesn't love me? Right? How many times do you have to wake up in that condition before you realize maybe this person doesn't have my best interest in heart? What was going on with Samson that he couldn't see? What was going on in his life? I'll tell you what was going on. He had a huge blind spot. Can I tell you one way you can discover the blind spots in your life? Is ask someone that you know loves you this simple question: what am I missing? Say this phrase with me out loud: what am I missing? If you will simply ask that question of people that you know love you, it can bring a lot of freedom to your life. You just simply ask, what am I missing? If David would have simply asked his servant, when he asked him, who is this person? And the servant said, it is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. If David would have said, hey, what am I missing here? I believe that servant would have said, well, you heard her name was Bathsheba, but you didn't hear the part where I said, she's Uriah's wife. He was missing that part. If Samson would have just gone to his parents and said, hey, mom, dad, I want to date this girl, date this chick. What am I missing here? Maybe he would have heard what they have already said to Samson, that, hey, she's not of our tribe. She's not of our God that we serve. A lot of heartaches could have been missed if David would have just said to his captain, hey, I want you to put Uriah on the front lines, but before I do that, what am I missing? Perhaps the captain would have said, he's one of your best guys. He is so honorable. He won't even go home to his wife when wartime is on. He's so dedicated to you. David, some of his biggest blind spots spots could have been avoided and averted if he would have just simply asked this question, what am I missing? But many of us, we're going through life at 100 miles per hour, and we just assume that what we see is how things are. It's just like when you check your mirrors in your car. You assume if there's nothing in the mirror, there's nothing there. But just like on the road, there can be something there that you can't see. There can be something in our relationship with God, in our relationship with people, that is there that we can't see. So we can't just assume that what we see is everything there is to see. Secondly, this morning, if we want to really allow God to reveal the blind spots in our lives, we must focus on ourselves by looking inwardly and not always looking outwardly at others. David heard Nathan's story about the poor man who has had his one sheep stolen from him. And David said, man, let me find that guy. We're gonna make him pay four times as much, and then we're gonna kill him. David was so angry. Have you noticed it's easier to find the blind spots in other people's lives than it is to find the error in your own life? Have you noticed that? I learned a long time ago that when people overreact about a certain sin, that is often a tell that that same sin is in their life. I want to say that again, because some of you, it's going to help change you. Others of you, it's just going to help protect you. When you see someone that is overly interested and overly passionate about a particular sin, that is often an indicator that that same sin resides in them. Did you notice David's response? He said, we should kill that guy. But what David's anger was, the reason he was so passionate about it, was because what he saw in someone else was actually messing with what he somehow knew was in him. Even though it was a blind spot and he thought he had it hidden, it testified that there was something wrong in his life. The Apostle Paul was very familiar with this concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, I believe it is. He actually said these words, that he disciplined his body like an athlete so that after he had preached to other people, he himself would not be disqualified. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying that he is aware that if he does not stay in step and in tune and in constant discipline between him and his Father, that he also could develop blind spots about his relationship with God, even in the midst of trying to share the gospel with other people. We've got to continually examine ourselves. Thirdly, this morning, as we continue to seek outside voices to reveal blind spots, David, thankfully, when Nathan came, David, even though he had this huge blind spot that was growing and growing, thankfully he left room for somebody to speak truth to him. You know, several years ago, and I'm going to tell my age, but how many of you remember when the movie Fireproof came out? Remember that? It was like one of the very first big Christian movies that came on the scene, and it's probably been 10 years ago. And it really dealt with marriage, and a group from our church, we went to go see this movie together. And we came back from seeing the movie, and a guy who's on our worship team actually came up to me the very next service and said, hey, what did y'all think about that movie? What did you think about it? And I said, I'll tell you what I thought about it. It helped me realize that I'm a horrible husband, and I got some stuff to work on. And he immediately responded this way, well, man, I don't want to go see that. I said, no, you need to go see it. I'm telling you, it is a great movie. It really helped me. He said, yeah, but I don't want to see anything that's going to make me feel bad. How do you know that sometimes we need to hear things and see things that might make us feel bad? Because, you know, we've heard everyone say the truth sets you free, but the reality is the truth often makes you mad and upset before it ever sets you free, because it messes with you on the inside. Thankfully, David listened to Nathan. And you know, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're doing that's our final word series. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says that there's a day coming when rather than hearing things that we don't want to hear that. People will actually collect to themselves teachers that will only say what they want to hear, which creates even a bigger blind spot. One of the ways we contend against blind spots is we continually seek out godly voices to reveal the blind spots in our lives. And fourth this morning, the way we discover the blind spots in our lives is we respond to the revelation of blind spots with repentance. There's two ways you can respond to blind spots. You can respond by rejecting what you now see that you didn't want to see. I don't know if you've ever read or heard people preach about or talk about the exodus of God's people from Egypt. And when Pharaoh, you know, the Lord shows them time after time the plagues of these frogs and these locusts and all these things that turn the river into blood. And every time you think, well, now Pharaoh will believe God and he'll let his people go. And sometimes I read Pharaoh's story and I get kind of mad. I think, Lord, how could he not see that you are speaking to him and that you are confirming your desire for him? How is it that he can't respond to what you're doing? And the answer is simply this. He had a blind spot of pride, a blind spot of power, a blind spot of control. I'm not sure what all his blind spot was caused by, but David thanked the Lord in verse number 13, if you skip down, when he heard the revelation of his blind spot by Nathan, his response was this. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. Which reminds me, before I close, Megan, if you want to come, one of the ways we allow the Lord to reveal our blind spots is we have to understand that every sin we've committed is first and foremost a sin against God. Period. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I didn't really sin against God. I sinned against this person, or I sinned against these people, or this organization, or I sinned against myself. But no, every sin, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Now, obviously, did he sin against Bathsheba? Sure. Did he sin against Uriah? Sure. Did he sin against his own army by putting them in a way that caused a death to occur that shouldn't have occurred? Sure. But first and foremost, he realized that he had grieved the heart of God. Our sin, always the first person it grieves and the first person it harms is always the heart of God. But when we realize that, then we can come and we can repent first and foremost to the person who's injured the most, and that's the heart of the Father. When we see our blind spots, we can repent of them. I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning. I want to close asking this question. Is there a blind spot that is causing destruction in your life? Is there a blind spot that is marginalized in the life that God wants you to live? Perhaps during this message, you've heard the voice of God or the Holy Spirit of God tugging on your heart, and you've just had the thought, you know what, perhaps this attitude, perhaps this activity, perhaps this way of thinking is a blind spot. I would challenge you to understand this, that a blind spot is a blind spot because you can't see it. And so there's been a question that's been rising in your heart while I preach this message, or even now. When I ask you to examine your life for blind spots, anything that comes to your heart or your mind is going to be of the Holy Spirit, because if it's truly us, we can't see it. We can't see our blind spots, but He can. So I want to ask you to take a moment, take the next 15 to 30 seconds and ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you search me and know me? Would you see if there's anything that's not right in me and reveal it to me right now? And then would you begin to heal the hurt my blind spots have created, whether it truly is just between us and our Savior, or if it's between us and our spouse, us and our kids, us and other people. Lord, would you reveal it to us even now?
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.